Christy Lee, hello.
Hello, hello, Julia. How are you?
I'm well. How are you going?
Yeah, I am great. Thank you. I'm great because we're talking about one of my favourite things today.
Yes, me too. This could be a long one.
Yes, we could go on and on and on.
Yes. So we're talking today about extroverts, introverts and ambiverts. Mm. And it's interesting. Ambivert is not a term I had heard before you and I were talking about this is a topic, but I talk about extroverts and introverts a lot.
Mm.
So how about I kick off with extroverts, introverts, and then you can fill in the gaps with the ambiverts.
Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah. So the way I talk about extroverts and introverts is partly about how we process our thinking. So extroverts crystallize their thoughts by talking and they bounce ideas off people. So you're hearing every idea that they have. They think out loud. Whereas introverts tend to do their thinking internally and you hear about it once they've thought something through. They like to have that time to think things through. But the other key characteristic is that where they get their energy from. So extroverts getting their energy from others, whereas introverts get their energy from going away from other people. Is that your, how you talk about these?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Particularly the energy piece in terms of extroverts really just recharge their batteries by being around people, as you said, really talking through everything and vocalizing the thoughts that are in their head, because that's important to them. And also just recharging the batteries by connecting with others in a very, you know, physical present kind of way, where introverts really do need, and it's not that they're not making decisions as quickly or that they're not thinking the same, you know, pattern of thoughts, but the way I see it is extroverts are busy in terms of their activity. Introverts are busy in their mind because they're working through everything there. And like we were discussing, there's a sliding scale. You know, you're not
totally.
There are definitely high-level extroverts and high-level introverts, but then there's everything in between as well.
And I think that's interesting because even with people who are highly extroverted, what I see is that there are times when they will want to be introverted and they might want to go away and think about things. And my husband was like this. He was highly extroverted in that he got his energy from other people. He did a lot of thinking out loud, but there were times when he just needed to go away and think something through on his own. And then he would come back with something that was fully formed and ready to go. So there was that balance there, but I would certainly have described him as highly extroverted.
And I think that going away and knowing that you've got that need to process really comes down to understanding yourself as, because I think the the natural tendency for an extrovert would not be to go away and do the thinking. But, you know, when we're self-aware and over time, we learn what works, and sometimes it is resisting the temptation to do our normal extrovert things that we know works. But we can, you know, as an extrovert, can only do that for a limited time. And conversely, like introverts, they can step in and do the things that they know are important, like possibly give a presentation or go to a networking event, even though it's not their natural default, because they see the value in it. So we can all step into the other role to do what we need to do.
One of the things I see in the teams I work with is that sometimes in meetings, it can be hard to pick the highly introverted people if they're talking about their technical specialization and they're in a team where they're really comfortable. So you can hear a lot of talking from them and it'll be well thought out because they specialize in this area. But I do caution people sometimes about looking around the table in a meeting with their team and trying to pick who has what preference, because I think that's when introverts can be incredibly vocal and, you know, you're hearing a lot from them. So that's not always an indicator. But as you say, that they won't want to stay in that zone for too long because they don't draw their energy from those kinds of things. They're putting energy into it.
Yeah. And I think part of the trick there is if an introvert knows that this is coming, so they know this is a team meeting that's happening regularly and they know that they're going to be asked for their input and opinion, they're prepared, and introverts tend to do well when they've had the opportunity to prepare, and they're much more comfortable speaking up in those scenarios. We're being put on the spot and asking to do an explanation or a presentation without that prior knowing, that's when they really tend to, you know, not enjoy it and really close up.
Yeah. One of the other things I see with teams, it was interesting that I was working with a team this morning where all except one of the team were extroverted, and some of them were highly extroverted.
Wow.
And there was one team member who was highly introverted. And before he had even talked about this, because we were talking about what it meant for how the team functioned, one of the others spoke up and said, whenever this person talks, I find that I listen because I know whatever he says is going to be really well considered. And I think that's a classic that you hear about people. Mm. You know, when highly introverted people speak, it tends to have been thought through.
Yes.
So people do stop, and they're not hearing from them all the time.
Mm.
So they do stop and listen.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Where without, and I think introverts can commonly get a little frustrated with extroverts. So I feel for this one introvert on a team of extroverts, because that must be hardcore to deal with. But I think until you're really consciously aware of these differences, this is where we often see frustration in teams, that why do they have to talk all the time, or why won't they ever just tell me what they're thinking? And it's we have to understand that this is how they process things. And as leaders, we have to not only have our own self-awareness about we need to step into different roles, but we also really need to know our team well enough to know that if we want to get the best out of that introvert, we need to approach them in a very different way to their extrovert colleague.
I think it's so true. And I know back in the days when we were allowed to be in a room with a whole group of people talking about these things.
Yes.
Often when I would talk with the team about these sorts of things, if it was a big team, we might split them and get the extroverts to describe how they see introverts and the introverts to describe how they perceive extroverts. And the words are almost always negative. So the extroverts would describe introverts as, you know, boring and secretive. You know, and the introverts would describe the extroverts as bossy and overbearing. And, you know, all of these words that are really negative words because they're so different from them.
Mm.
And I think that's a real challenge. The other thing I see a lot, and as you say, if you're not aware of these differences and how this works, I see introverts who take the first thing they hear from an extrovert in a meeting or in a conversation, and they take that away to think about it, not realizing that there's going to be plenty more coming, because that's just one thought and there'll be more thoughts.
Yep.
And then they'll come back later on with that and say, oh, can we just go back to that thing you were talking about? By which time the extrovert has moved on exponentially.
Yes.
And it's sort of like, well, keep up, you know, I'm finished with that, I'm on to this.
Yes.
And I see frustration arise around that as well.
Yeah. And I think one of the keys, you know, ways you can manage that as an introvert is understanding that they're thinking out loud. They're not saying, you know, you're only talking when you're ready. They're talking every thought. And so it's sometimes around circling back and reconfirming exactly what the key messages they needed you to get out of that, which, you know, what did they settle on as the thing that they needed you to hear?
Yes.
And just removing all the rest of that from your memory.
Some of the noise,
yes,
that you're carrying. So let's talk about ambiverts.
Ambiverts are, I found this really interesting, and, you know, this has got my psych nerd hat on here because, you know, I'm thinking back to my uni days where we were studying Carl Jung, who sort of came up with the whole introvert-extrovert concept. And ambiverts, it's not a common term, but I have done a bit of research around it. Ambiverts are pretty much the what I would call the in-betweeners. And so they kind of sit in the middle, but not to say they sit in the middle and, you know, just inherit traits of everything, but they can actually swing from being introvert to extrovert, depending on the situation that they find themselves in. So I find this really fascinating. And I think, you know, I particularly piques my interest because I always thought I was quite an extrovert. And it wasn't till later in life I went, actually, no, I'm much more introverted than I give myself credit for, because I really do like that alone processing time. But I considered myself an extrovert because I do have some extrovert tendencies. And it wasn't until I, you know, really looked into this and I went, oh, that's why I'm an ambivert. I can swing either way. Yeah. And it's about meeting the scenario that you find yourself in as an ambivert. So if an ambivert is in a room that is dominated by extroverts, they might tend to be more introverted to give the room balance, and vice versa. If they're room full of introverts, they will, their extrovert tendencies will float to the top again to give that room balance. they like all the things that extroverts like, but in much smaller portions than a full extrovert. So they can do the big public gatherings, but after about 2 hours, they're spent and they've got to get out of there. But for those 2 hours, they can be perfectly extroverted. They can do the deep work as well, but again, not to the same depth and level and length as an introvert. So one of the classic ways this was explained to me that really rung true for me is an ambivert can go to a networking event, which is usually most introverts' absolute worst nightmare, but they will always want a buddy with them for at least the first few minutes. And that was me running my business, Juliet. It was when I read this, I was like, all right, this makes total sense. So, you know, back in the day, face-to-face networking was the thing that everyone, you know, thought you should be doing. And I would be fine after about 5 minutes in any room, but to arrive into that room, I would have one of my team with me without fail. And I didn't even consciously realize I was doing it.
Yeah. That's a clever strategy. I would just go for the first glass of wine I could see.
Yeah. Yes. Also a good strategy, and may or may not have also deployed that strategy from time to time.
That's not as clever as taking a member of your team.
Yeah. And especially if you take a really extroverted person with you.
Right. Yes.
Because you know that within 5 seconds, they'll have one of you involved in all sorts of conversations.
Yeah.
And they were super comfortable in that environment. Mm. But I would subconsciously resist walking into a room like that solo if I could at all avoid it. So I think that's one of the distinctions that I really liked, because it's one of those ones where you go, yes, that makes total sense now.
Totally,
ambiverts don't fit the true traditional extrovert nor the true traditional introvert, but can show signs of both.
And I really like it. And I like this idea that, and obviously it takes a level of self-awareness, but this idea that if they walk into a room or are at a meeting that has more introverts, so it's going to be a quieter meeting, that they will actually lift and become more extroverted to balance that.
Yeah.
And similarly can have that self-awareness to stop talking if there's a lot of extroverts around and balance that with a bit more of that sort of quieter consideration.
Yes.
And I think both, if you are strongly extroverted or introverted, you can obviously operate the both ways, as we say, but it takes energy and you won't want to stay there for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the classic we talk about is introverts behaving in an extrovert way. So having to do a lot of talking, be social, having that, and that quick sort of repartee, that is a nightmare for a strong introvert.
Yes.
You know, and what you hear is, oh God, I should have said that, you know, hours later, you suddenly have that thought about, oh, I could have said that clever thing that I didn't say. But I think it's also difficult for strong extroverts to stop talking, to sit back and let the conversation flow, because they're often so used to carrying a conversation.
Yeah.
And because they do draw energy from it.
Mm.
But they can still draw energy from a crowd and be a little bit more introverted. So I think it's probably slightly less effort than an introvert behaving in a more extroverted way.
And I think with the extroverts, it doesn't make them as uncomfortable to turn it down. It takes effort and consciousness, but not discomfort, where for an introvert there is a strong sense of discomfort having to do some of the things that, you know, that they may be challenged to do.
Yeah, I think that's really true. So I think the key here is really self-awareness, isn't it? I mean,
self-awareness and awareness of your people.
Yes, yeah. And I think when we have that, and as a leader, I think, I mean, you know, we talk about self-awareness all the time. To me, it's the key to being able to lead effectively, because once you understand yourself, you know, we talk about this idea that most people don't get out of bed in the morning wanting to be annoying.
But it happens. No, most people don't.
No, but often it happens, and it happens because they're different from us and we become frustrated. And I think this is a classic area where we can see that frustration come through.
Yeah.
If people don't have that awareness to say, oh, you're not trying to be annoying, you're just different.
Absolutely. You know? And you'll see that, you know, some roles and career pathways lend themselves to extroverts, and some lend themselves to introverts. So you will quite often see tension between sales and finance, as an example, as your departments, because, and what it comes down to is not that there's fundamental different, you know, focuses or values. It's that finance people tend by generalization to be more introverted, and salespeople tend by generalization to be more extroverted. And so they naturally seek out career paths that suit their personalities.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And I see that in, you know, in offices, when we're allowed into offices.
Yes.
I see that in offices a lot. You know, you can pick where the marketing team is sitting.
Yes.
You know, and you can
pick where
the audit
fun.
Team is based, you know, exactly. That sort of thing. Yes. And they are generalizations, but they tend to hold true in that people are attracted to those roles because they get to, you know, with their marketing team, be involved in activities and events and those sorts of things often.
Yeah. And I think we're going to really see this play out as, I don't want to say return to normal happens, but, you know, as we shift back into some different ways of working, you might find that your introverts are much more resistant to coming back to face-to-face meetings or even social gatherings with your team than your extroverts who will be racing there. And so it's understanding that as a leader as well and managing, you know, requirements, parameters, expectations to get everyone where you need them to be.
And I think that's interesting too, because I think that's where ambiverts can play a real role.
Yeah.
In that they can step up.
I feel like everyone needs an ambivert on their team just to balance everything out.
I agree. But I think that's it. And I think the more we can talk about this stuff and raise people's awareness of it. But I totally agree with you. I think COVID lockdowns have been a gift to many strong introverts.
Absolutely.
You know, who haven't had to go out and do a whole lot of stuff that they would normally be expected to do. Just as it's been really tough for strong extroverts.
Absolutely. They've really missed that connection.
Yes, exactly. And struggle to find that energy because you don't get the same energy on Zoom calls or you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting, I think.
Absolutely. But I think fundamentally, if you can know this about yourself and your team, you know, you're well ahead in terms of them being able to lead better and have more influence over your people.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, look, next episode, we're actually going to take this a little bit further because we're going to talk about psychometric tests.
Yes.
Which look at not just extrovert and introvert preferences, but other preferences for how we work and communicate with one another.
They're such great tools, and there's so many options out there that I know it often feels like overwhelm. So we're going to dig a little deeper in terms of why you might want to use them and what options there are for you.
Yes, perfect. I'll see you then.
Great. Thanks, Juliet.
Okay, bye.
Bye.